Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today is May 7th, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin. The world, look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course,
608-878-4682.
In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all of our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Folks, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on net internationally. It's live on YouTube, on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. In places like the Manila, Philippines, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, Westminster, London, United Kingdom, and of course the United States such as Lexington, Kentucky, San Jose, California, Miami, Florida. This week, Newark, New Jersey, is the largest group of listeners to our programs when they go to podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now, prayer, and I think our guest is here, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father, and give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, folks, we're looking at the COVID-19 map, and we're seeing things like 26,000 deaths in New York, 8,000, almost 9,000 in New Jersey, 4,420 in Massachusetts. The list goes on and on and on. This isn't fake, but I do believe our government has went, not our government, but individual places where leftists are in charge. They've been going way too extreme. But there is so much going on with this, with the lockdown orders, this and that and the other. It is so hard to keep track of this. But I have a solution. There's a man out there, and his name's Michael Snyder. He's been on with us more than once, in fact, a lot of times. And Michael, I don't know how he just manages to do it every day. He keeps track of most of all of this and puts it out on his website. And so we're going to talk to him. He's been on with us before. He's been talking about many different things, including places of refuge. He has a blog called The Economic Collapse Blog and The Most Important Thing. That's the blog that we're going to point to today. He's the author of books, The Beginning of the End and The Rapture Verdict. He's become a very popular person on prophecy-related radio and TV programs. Are you there with me, Michael?
Shalom, Pastor Dan. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. He just put you into the stream, and I guess I should have told you that's the way he's been doing it lately, but anyway. So I'm glad to have you on. Last week, my internet went down completely. They had to come and replace the whole line.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Pastor Dan. Sometimes technical issues can happen. And we were going to do this interview last week, but I think it's even more timely today because we just got some new numbers and we can talk about that. But because of this fear of this virus, you know, it's what we're witnessing is truly an economic collapse in the United States like we've never seen before. So These are truly perilous times, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, amen. Let's point to this website, and I'm just, there are so many different titles here. I try to read each one of them. Sometimes one slips by me, but you give such great news out every day, and you're covering a lot of different, because there's so many different aspects of this. That collapse is one part of it, which is a major part, that'd be a great place to start. But then you cover meat shortages, and then the Bible says there will be famines in the last days. And you go through so much. I'm just want to say, great job, brother. Great job. I'm glad that you're it, because I go look at your place first, and it gives me leads on where to go with news articles. Anyway, back to you.
Well, praise God, Pastor Dan, and thank you for the kind words. But what a privilege for all of us to be living during these times, literally the last days before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yeah, things are going to get really, really bad out there, but I also believe it's going to be the greatest hour in the history of the church. And so we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to point people to what's happening. And the reason to do that is say, look, the Bible talked about these things 2,000 years ago. You look at Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, the book of Revelation, and the other prophetic scriptures talking about the last days. And they talk about pestilences. Jesus specifically warned pestilences would come. And this, you know, and this COVID-19, this is just the first one. People need to understand worse are coming later, and we can talk about that later in the show. But also, I just wrote an article about famines. The Bible said famines would be coming in the last days. And we're starting to see that around the world, where there's food riots in South Africa and other places already, where the head of the United Nations World Food Program just warned that, in fact, on the official UN website, they had an article talking about famines are coming of biblical proportions. That's not my phrase. They actually used that phrase on the official UN website, which, of course, the UN is a very evil organization. But, you know, it's funny how sometimes God will cause people to use certain words or certain terms. And the UN is even using the phrase biblical proportions to describe the famines that aren't coming a few years from now, but that are happening right now, Pastor Dan.
Yeah.
All over the world. Because of this, you know, really, it's not just the United States, but all over the world we've seen these lockdowns. All over the world we've seen tens of millions of people unemployed. They can't make a living. And then all over the world, even before this, we saw crazy weather patterns where over in Australia they had such tremendous drought that they've started to have to import wheat, while usually they export wheat to the rest of the world. Or you look over in China. Way before COVID-19 ever hit China, they were dealing with African swine fever, where African swine fever has already killed half the pigs in China, approximately a quarter of the pigs all over the world, which is one of the primary meat sources for the entire planet. A quarter of the pigs in the entire world are already dead, and that's created a massive problem. Or you look over in Africa, across the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, then into Afghanistan and Pakistan and India and all the way into China, where these swarms of locusts, the size of major cities, in fact, a new generation just hatched. The UN is calling it 20 times larger than the last generation, and these swarms can travel up to 90 miles a day. When they descend on a farm, they can eat everything there in 30 seconds, literally causing famine for millions upon millions of people all across a vast stretch on the other side of the world. But up until now, most Americans hadn't been too concerned about it because it wasn't affecting what was on their plate. It wasn't affecting them personally. So, oh, that's the other side of the world. I don't really care. But here in the United States, we're not at famine yet, but we found out this week Wendy's has now pulled hamburgers off the menu on one out of every five of their restaurants, about one-fifth of their restaurants, because of the meat shortages. Tyson Foods just ran a full-page ad in the New York Times where they said, hey, there's going to be supply chain problems. We're not going to be able to get our products to you because of these big problems where we're having to shut down some of our plants. Last week on Wednesday, meat production in the United States for the day was down 42% compared to last year. I don't know about you, Pastor Dan, but I don't plan on eating 42% less meat this year personally. You know, and
let's cut in here a second. The meat shortage is something that I've really been trying to end the food shortage. It's what I've been trying to get across to people, but you know, it's that thing that you just said. Well, the rest of the world could literally be, I think, be burning up before two things happen, before people in the West actually sit up and pay attention. And prophecy, there's so many prophecy people out there that unless prophecy is directly affecting them, it's like, well, it's not the end of the world yet. What do you think about that? I mean, that's just craziness. Back to you.
Yeah, it frustrates me because sometimes I'll write about something going on the other side of the world, but the article doesn't get as much attention as my articles normally do because people are like, oh, that's not America. I don't care about that. But people need to understand Bible prophecy is being fulfilled all over the world. And literally the head of the UN World Food Program says, we're facing a famine. Pretty soon we're going to see 300,000 people die every day. Every single day, 300,000 people are going to die from famine, from hunger, unless something dramatic happens. And that projection didn't even include the effects of COVID-19, which has come upon us now. But Pastor Dan, people now it's starting to hit home from people because they're going to the grocery store and they're saying, wait a second, we got empty shelves here. Some of the meat products that I normally buy, that they're not even available. So we're starting to see shortages in our grocery stores, and that's really hitting home for people. And Pastor Dan, of course, this is coming at a time when unemployment in the United States, we are in the middle of the biggest spike in unemployment in all of U.S. history by a very, very wide margin. In fact, we just got some new numbers today. And to put this in perspective, I think I mentioned this the last time I was on. Before this year, the highest number of initial claims for unemployment benefits in a single week reported that we ever saw was back in 1982. It was 695,000 in 1 week. That was the all-time record.
Right.
But, of course, for the last 7 weeks in a row, we've been absolutely dwarfing that number. This week, again, more than 3 million Americans filed initial claims for unemployment benefits, which is more than four times, what the old record was back in 1982. But we've absolutely shattered that record now 7 weeks in a row. And you take the last 7 weeks combined and add them together, now we've seen more than 33 million Americans lose their jobs in just 7 weeks. I mean, we've literally seen the U.S. economy collapse in less than 2 months' time. I mean, it's really been amazing. In fact, Pastor Dan, already, and I just wrote about this yesterday, we have already, and people think back to 2008 and 2009, how bad that was, how horrifying that recession was. It was called the Great Recession because it was the worst economic downturn we've seen since the Great Depression of the 1930s. Well, what we've already seen in these last 7 weeks, we've already lost more than twice as many jobs as we did the entire recession last time. You take the whole last recession, all of the jobs lost for the whole recession, the number of jobs lost this time around is already more than double that size. I mean, that is what we're talking about, Pastor Dan, a collapse, an unemployment collapse that is truly, truly unprecedented.
That's really, really incredible. I know our work's going to really increase. In fact, we took almost a 30-day break because of all the pressure from the police, the community, and everything. So we took a 30-day break and we went back Tuesday. And I thought, well, maybe some of these people got, checks and things because we minister to the poor and the homeless. A lot of people don't get that. We're in a poor neighborhood, so we have a lot of poor people there that come there and others. Anyway, the point was, is the numbers didn't diminish at all, and they were really glad to see us and everything, but, I thought maybe, it would be a little bit better, but it's just going to get worse. And I don't know how, unless something changes, how the pressure of the food banks are not going to be able to sustain it. The feeding places aren't going to be able to sustain it. I know people that are still waiting, trying to get on unemployment, but every time they go, the sites crash. So we're really facing a horrendous thing. Back to you.
Oh, we are, Pastor Dan. Yeah, millions of people haven't even been able to file yet because the state unemployment websites all over the country weren't designed for this kind of tsunami of unemployment. So, for example, I read one article recently about one lady that was trying to extend her unemployment benefits in Maryland, and she logged on to a website there, and she was number 88,000 in line waiting to get something done. I mean, it's just crazy. And the thing about it is, Pastor Dan, you know, of course, now some states are starting to reopen, and you know, and of course, it's going to be done in stages and take many months to accomplish. But, you know, governors can try to reopen their states, but they can't order customers to go back to the store. So a lot of these restaurants and malls and places that are reopening, they're barely getting any customers because no one's showing up. Meanwhile, I just wrote about this yesterday, too. A new survey just found that 52% of all small business owners in the United States say that they're probably going to shut down in the next 6 months because they're not going to be able to survive this severe economic downturn. Mm. And you know, even before this, most small business owners were just barely surviving in America because you got your payroll to meet, you got your expenses, and then you hope to bring in enough revenue to eke out a small profit at the end of the month. But then all of a sudden, if you've got 20 or 30% of the population that is scared to go to public places because they're scared of the virus, even after the reopenings, or if you've got a certain percentage of the population that simply doesn't have money to spend anymore because they've already lost their jobs, well, all of a sudden your revenues as a small business owner are down 20, 30, 40, 50%, whatever it is. But if you were just barely eking out a small profit before, all of a sudden your business becomes from slightly profitable to losing money big time, even though you're still open, and you, most small business owners don't have a lot of reserves. They're not going to be able to survive very long. So about half of all small businesses, and we're talking about millions and millions of small businesses, about half of them say, hey, we're probably going to have to shut down in 6 months and let all of our employees go. So the unemployment wave that we've seen, I mean, we've seen a big spike, and it's going to start to level off, but we're going to continue to bleed jobs for the foreseeable future as more businesses shut down.
Wow. Well, it's just like the airline industry, you know, in Wichita, Kansas, I relate to that because, you know, that's where we minister at. Air capital of the world, it used to be, I don't know if it still is, but that was our motto, air capital of the world. Well, everything there is about aircraft, and the Spirit and other ones are laying off a huge proportion of people there. And so that's going to infect, you know, everybody. It's just really going to be super dramatic. I don't know where this is going to go because the airline isn't going to pick up. Even if people want to fly, I mean, some people will fly when they start allowing that. But like you said, there's a lot of people I've talked to that don't plan on going out in public for a very long time. Back to you.
Yeah, Pastor Dan, the airline industry is a perfect example where Warren Buffett, he was a big investor in the airlines, but then, you know, he saw, hey, this downturn's for the airline industry is going to last for years and people aren't going to want to fly as much. These airlines aren't going to be profitable. So he sold everything he owned in all the airlines, sold all the stocks, announced that just a few days ago and said, hey, you know, we really thought the airlines were going to do well, but because of this virus, it's not going to turn around anytime soon. So anybody out there that's expecting the U.S. economy to really bounce back anytime soon, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. You know, if we're in for an extended downturn, although economic momentum is taking us in a certain direction, even if all the lockdowns were lifted tomorrow. Right. And what this has created, Pastor Dan, and we can talk about this after the break, is an explosion of need and hunger all over America, where literally lines at food banks are stretching for miles. And this was actually prophesied in advance, several years in advance, exactly what we're seeing today with a precise details. And you know, I know the break's coming in a couple minutes. We're going to have our break. But after the break, we can talk about some of these prophecies which are literally being fulfilled right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, and we do got about 2 or 3 minutes, but even David Wilkerson had a prophecy back that was about a virus and things hitting New York and how New York would respond and everything. And at the end of it, it looked like he was saying that there would be a revival out of it. I pray that that's right. And that is the biggest thing here. You know, a lot of people don't understand. Joel Richardson wrote a real good book, and it's all about disasters, how God will work in disasters to change us and make us better, that they allow to happen, but he uses them to change us. Well, America needs to repent, and that's the short and long of it. The whole world needs to repent. I just pray it's strong enough this time to take effect. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, Pastor Dan, and a lot of people out there are looking forward to revival, and I believe a great move of God is coming. as well. But these days, in the prosperity circles, especially out there, a lot of Christians tend to associate revival with, economic good times. Christians are going to take over the government. We're going to elect all kinds of Republicans, and the United States, things are going to get greater than ever before. No, that's not what revival is going to look like. I'm sorry. We're going to see revival and a move of God in the midst of chaos and darkness and everything going crazy and people realizing their need for God and turning to Him and finding salvation through Jesus Christ. So we're going to see a great harvest into the kingdom, but it will be in the midst of a perfect storm, of lots of very difficult things happening. People need to stop thinking of revival in terms of this, Christians conquering everything, taking over everything, United States becoming greater than ever before. That's not what revival is going to look like. That's not what revival is. But unfortunately, that's what a lot of people out there associate it with.
Yeah, a big amen to that. They don't get it. They don't understand. But that's exactly what we're talking about. Yes, revival among people. Yes, more souls. But it doesn't mean that America is going to be like normal. Not that normal was really good, because you know what I've been seeing in America that has been revealed, what I call the Great Revealing. Ever since Trump came into office, it revealed it just how much evil was blatantly out there and speaking. Well, we got to go to break. Give me your website real quick, and we'll go to break, come back, and talk about those prophecies.
Yeah, you get the prophecies I'm about to talk about, you can find at themostimportantnews.com, and all the economic articles that I post, you can find at theeconomiccollapseblog.com, or go to Google and type in The Economic Collapse, and it'll be the first result that comes up.
All right. Well, folks, we'll be back in about 4 minutes with more.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Friend, if you're troubled and you lost your way, don't worry about it, everything's okay. Jesus gonna come himself and look for you. Give you a charge of the Holy Ghost power, see you through your troubled eyes. Life is well, surely you will find a way. He's always on call, he wants to save a lost. His charge is always free, with a shout of victory. What more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer's always yes, to meet your
The first century historian Flavius Josephus gives us great insight as to what took place on the Sabbath, not only in Jerusalem, but in all of the Roman Empire. In his work entitled Flavius Josephus Against Appian, he states, "The multitude of mankind itself have had a great inclination of a long time to follow our religious observances, for there is not any city of the Grecians, nor of the barbarians, nor any nation whatsoever, whither our custom of resting on the seventh day hath not come." Philo, another respected first century historian of Alexandria, Egypt, reports the same findings. In his work entitled On the Life of Moses, he questions, "What man is there who does not honor that sacred seventh day, granting in consequence a relief and relaxation from labor, for himself and for all those who are near to him, and that not to free men only, but also to slaves and even to beasts of burden?" Philo concludes his statement by saying, "Everything is at liberty and in safety on that day, and enjoys, as it were, perfect freedom in obedience to a universal proclamation." What did the first century believers do on the Sabbath? They rested just as they always had. It was not necessary for the church to instruct the Gentile believers as to the Sabbath. They were already observing it throughout the known world. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Folks, we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we are talking with Michael Snyder, and we're getting into some real important prophecy in a minute, but just one more little thing about the Mission Church. We need you to support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We are back over there, and we're over there working, and we've been giving out hygiene and Bibles and food. In fact, my wife made them a special dinner. She made them sloppy joes and tater tots. Wasn't that cool? Don't you like those kind of things? But the point is it didn't diminish a bit. I thought there would be a few less people out there, at least when we went back after taking that short break, which we don't plan on doing again unless they come and get us out of there. Anyway, point is that it's increasing. We do really need your help. We've lost some donations because some people have been off of work. So we really do need your help. Support us so we can care for these people that the Father is sending us. And we are, yes, June will start our 20th year of doing this. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for Radio Airtime. I know you're all listening to radio out there. It's not free. And I know that you enjoy our guests and you learn from our guests. So pray about supporting us on the air. We do really need your help to stay on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, call and give a donation over the phone. You can find all this information. We're at the same place, prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Michael Snyder. You still with me, Michael?
Oh, I'm here, Pastor Dan, and I would just encourage everyone, Pastor Dan's work is more important than ever because there's such a need, and we're going to talk about that in a second. So many more people are in need than ever before, but also this is said in terms of getting the last day's message out. Pastor Dan has guests on, which hardly anyone else around the country has on, so he's willing to broadcast this end times message, which is so critical. And so it's so important to support getting that message out. But Pastor Dan, before the break, we told the people we were going to share this prophecy, and the prophecy I'm talking about comes from Heidi Baker. And a number of years ago, she saw, and let me read a little quote from what she saw. Quote, "I saw this bread line, long bread lines, and I said, Lord, I don't think that is popular to say in a church, especially one that is all about revival and victory and power. I didn't want to see what I saw, but I saw what I saw, so I was so undone that I just said what I saw. And I saw all these people, and they had beautiful cars, 4x4s and Lexus Mercedes, BMWs, Toyotas. They were with fancy, shiny cars, but they were standing in line. And then later on in the vision, she asked the Lord about this. She asked, why are they so well-dressed and standing in this line? And this is what the Lord said. He said, quote, because it is a suddenly, they are suddenly in need of food. And that's exactly what we're seeing all over the country, Pastor Dan, where literally we have been seeing lines at the food banks all over the country stretch for miles and people lining up in cars at the crack of dawn. In fact, on a recent weekend in the San Antonio area, people started lining up in their cars at 2 a.m. in the morning to line up to receive food. And you look at the photos of these different food lines, Pastor Dan, and you've got the nice fancy cars, you know, people that were living a middle-class lifestyle, but now they're out of work, they need to feed their families, and they're waiting hours in these food lines at the crack of dawn just to get a little bit of food to feed their families.
Wow. That's absolute. And that's what I've always done. You know, that was one thing that the Father told us on our mission, like we've been doing for 20 years, that there was going to come a time that we were not going to decrease, but that we were going to greatly increase. And I can see it, feel it coming. This is an area that I've worked in for 20 years. It's there, and it's just people need to wake up. They need to get into the Word, but they need to get prepared, but spiritually first. Back to you.
Yeah, Pastor Dan, and what people need to realize as well is this is just the beginning. And In fact, several major prophetic voices have warned that there's going to be another pandemic. For example, I think we mentioned it previously on a show, John Paul Jackson, he warned that during the time of the perfect storm, which he warned would be about a decade later, the time we're in now, he said a pandemic would come first, and it would be a pandemic, but it would be mostly fear. And then one would come after that would be serious. And I think that what we're seeing now fits that pattern because this pandemic, yeah, it's killed over 76,000 Americans now and others around the world. But really it's fear that has paralyzed the world even more and shut down economies all over the globe. And so really the fear of the virus has been even greater than the virus and will continue to be for the foreseeable future. And John Paul Jackson warned that another one was coming later, and that fits perfectly with what others have seen. For example, Sarah Manette, also known as Sarah Hoffman, I know you've read her prophecy on the show before, Pastor Dan. Well, she saw that there would be pandemics coming, great pandemics, and one would come, it would affect the skin, it would be horrible. And so, you know, that's not this pandemic, because COVID-19 doesn't show up on the face or anything like that. But she warned that is coming in the future. Then also, our prophetic friend from India, Sadhu Sundar Selvaraj, he recently came out and he said God has shown him that there's going to be a worse than coronavirus, a worse pandemic that's coming. In fact, God told him that the next pandemic is going to make coronavirus look like child's play. And he also said that this is something that's going to be affecting the skin. It's going to show up on the chest. It's going to show up, you know, on the face and so forth. And he went on to warn that God had shown him that, quote, from 2021 onwards, bad things are going to come, unquote. So we've got these prophetic voices which are warning that, you know, hey, you know, yeah, coronavirus has been bad, but worse pandemics are coming. And, of course, the Bible says pestilences, multiple, are going to come in the last days in Matthew 24, Luke 21, elsewhere. So if people need to realize this is just the beginning for the pestilences, but then also but broader than that is that at this time of the perfect storm, there's going to be economic shaking, there's going to be political shaking, there's going to be war. War in the Middle East is something that we're watching for. There's going to be natural disasters. So we're watching for volcano eruptions. We're watching the northwest United States in particular for that. We're watching for earthquakes on the west coast, the New Madrid Fault. We're watching for all these natural disasters, for weather patterns to continue to get even crazier. You know, basically all these things are going to feed into one another because, so, you know, when some natural disaster happens, that's going to make the economic problems worse, and that's going to affect things politically. And you know, what we've seen already is going to affect the election and the things coming up in November. So all these pieces of the perfect – the John Paul Jackson called it the perfect storm. Others have, you know, I'll use other terms for it. But all these pieces are going to feed into one another, and that we're going to see an intensification moving forward, Pastor Dan. And people need to realize what we've experienced so far, this is just the very, very beginning of what's coming to America.
Right, absolutely. In fact, you know, there is this, just for instance, to add to this, there's this huge mop that just hit, you know, it's hitting in Washington State. And it acts almost, it's not as comparable to that, to the grasshoppers over there in the Middle East that you, I'm sure you know, of course you know about, and I've been talking about on radio. But this coupled with things like the hornets, and you've heard about these killer hornets that are out there. I mean, I saw a video of this hornet take down this mouse. It was just incredible. But those hornets aren't even, I don't even think are anything compared to the ones that the Word talks about. Back to you.
Yeah, and Pastor Nan, for a moment, let's talk about, okay, people say, wow, it seems like things are getting really crazy out there. But a lot of people are not putting the pieces together about, okay, well, why is this happening to America? And, of course, we've talked, you know, about all the abortion and the gay marriage and all right. The other sins of this nation. But, you know, for a moment, I want to talk about a trigger that really no one else has been, or very, very few people have been talking about out there. But if you go back to January of this year, Pastor Dan, on January 21st, the Jerusalem Post reported that the Trump administration's peace team was there in the Middle East. They were holding meetings with Middle East officials in preparation to roll out Donald Trump's upcoming Middle East peace plan, which was his peace plan to divide the land of Israel, give the Palestinians, in fact, it would double the amount of territory that the Palestinians currently control and divide the land of Israel. And so that was on January 21st of this year. Then also on January 21st of this year, the very, very first confirmed case of the coronavirus was announced here in the United States. Of course, it seems like it's been with us forever, but it's been only a few months. You know, so from January 21st to today, now we're about to cross the 1.3 million mark in terms of confirmed cases, which at this point the United States has more than a million more confirmed cases than anyone else on the globe, because no one else on the globe even has 300,000 cases. We're about to cross 1.3 million. So, I mean, it's just crazy where at first this was a totally, you know, just mainly a China outbreak, and people say, oh, it's going crazy in China, then it hit Italy and other places. But now the United States has more than a million more cases than anyone else on the globe. So it's amazing how things have progressed since then. But getting back to the timeline. So that happened on January 21st, the very first case in the United States, on the exact same day that the Jerusalem Post reported that meetings were being held to roll out this plan. Okay, so we get to 1 week later, January 28th, Donald Trump rolls out this plan to divide the land of Israel and give the Palestinians a capital in East Jerusalem. And then just a couple days later, Donald Trump announces, okay, national emergency for the United States. The coronavirus is coming. It's coming here. And so this kind of fits a pattern, Pastor Dan, which we talked about on your show before, and literally it's been preached all over Christian radio, Christian television for decades, that whenever there's the U.S. government, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, has tried to divide the land of Israel, an effort has been made, some type of plan has been rolled out, well, our nation has been hit by a major judgment. And so this happened on January 28th, and I came out, I wrote against it, and very, very few other voices spoke out against it. But I said, hey, we can't do this. This is going to have very serious consequences. But unfortunately, Pastor Dan, and this is the connection I want to make, when we go back to the end of January, Trump's plan is rolled out. And so what did evangelical Christian leaders, all the big names all over America, virtually all of them, instead of speaking out saying, no, we can't divide the land of Israel, we're inviting God's judgment, things are going to go very, very badly for us if this happens. No, instead, virtually all of them, there was a very, very small minority, and you know, some of my friends and people I know, but very, very small minority spoke out against Trump's plan. But virtually almost all the major leaders all across America, the evangelical Christian leaders everyone looks up to, almost all of them came out and said, we support Trump's plan. We believe in this plan. We publicly support it. And I was like, oh, this is so bad, this is so bad. And since that time, Pastor Dan, of course, the U.S. has become the epicenter of the coronavirus outbreak, but specifically, Pastor Dan, just weeks later, for the very first time in all of U.S. history, virtually all of the churches across all of the United States were shut down for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people might say, well, that's just a coincidence, Michael. I don't believe that there's a connection between, okay, all the Christian ministers supported the plan to divide the land of Israel and all the churches being shut down. Well, believe whatever you want to believe. But, hey, you know what, but it's undeniable. We saw all these evangelical Christian leaders come out and support the plan to divide the land of Israel, and then just shortly thereafter, virtually all their churches were shut down. So, to me, and this it continues the pattern. To me, you know, everyone should understand this so clearly by now. We cannot divide the land of Israel. We cannot be involved in any effort to divide the land of Israel, because when we do, we curse our nation, we curse ourselves. And when Christian leaders publicly supported this, they were literally asking for judgment. And now, as a result of this coronavirus, a lot of these churches out there, they're not bringing in offerings, they're not bringing in revenue, and a lot of these churches are going to have to close their doors because they're not going to make it.
Okay. And let me address this a little bit, and I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, in the first program, I talked about another aspect of this, but this gives me a chance to clarify. Thank you for bringing it up. Yes, I remember when you brought it up on the program, and I said to Russell, I said, anybody that divides the land is bringing a curse upon themselves. Absolutely. But there is a small update about this. Now, I do believe that, I never thought about the church being connected to that timeline, but that sounds really possible, and they need to be woke up to that fact. But let's go with this. But what happened? They brought the peace plan forward, and they said no. The Palestinians said absolutely not. We're not. The big condition is we have to disarm. We're not going to disarm. We're not going to do it. That doesn't mean that it wasn't in their mind, because as you know, and we all know it, that knowers of the word know that sin starts in the mind. That's where it matters. Even though it wasn't played out and actually done, you thank goodness it wasn't actually done, because it would have been a worse thing than what we got. Let's say that. But now, while the plan is stopped dead in its tracks, they're getting ready to increase the land by annexing Judea and Samaria. And that is going to be a big deal for Israel. But the Palestinian, the leader of the Palestinians, even said that if Israel does that in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to dissolve the Palestinians at all. And then Israel can just take care of everybody. This whole thing is going to have a dramatic effect on end time prophecy. And yes, Michael, I'm agreeing with you that it would have been much worse had we actually split the land, but we didn't. So that's a breath. So you churches out there and you people that think, you know, you need to take a breath and look at this. But anyway, they're going to increase the land. What do you think? Back to you.
Yeah, I am definitely in favor of them annexing Judea and Samaria, and that's a great thing. Of course, you know, that's going to spark tensions in the region, and we know Middle East war is coming. We know that's part of the end time scenario, and so many people have been shown by the Lord that's coming. And so, you know, we're anticipating that coming. And so, you know, and the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem is a stumbling block. And we're very fortunate that, you know, that this was just a plan, this was just an effort, but that it didn't actually happen. But we do know prophetically, and so many people have seen this, Pastor Dan, that in the future, the U.S. government will be involved in officially dividing the land. And as a result of that, and we don't know exactly how soon this follows afterwards, but so many people have seen that once we officially divide the land of Israel, the United States will be physically divided by a gigantic earthquake along the New Madrid Fault, where the United States will be physically divided. So people out there need to understand the stakes of what we're facing, because, you know, this is something that God takes very, very seriously.
Yeah, amen. I do, and I've seen, there's not just a couple of those prophecies. There are numerous prophecies about America being split for exactly that reason. And I believe that. I honestly believe that. And if Donald Trump did it tomorrow and forced this issue and did it, but I don't see how anybody could actually force it. But, you know, if he did force it somehow and did take away the land, put on your crash helmet and everything else, because we'll get worse than another Katrina. And back when this all happened, back about the same time you were on our program and brought it up, my wife and I went through the reading of, you know, what happened with Katrina at the same time people were being moved around in Israel, and then everybody was displaced here at Katrina. We went through that at that time. So, yeah, I wholeheartedly believe you. I'm just saying it's kind of just turned around right now, but it's exciting, though. See, I'm excited. I mean, I hate to see death and destruction, but we got to stop saying, let's put it off, Father, let's put it off. Every time you say, let's put it off, you're asking the baby not to be born. You're asking for Yeshua not to come. You understand my reasoning there, brother? Back to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we look forward to, you know, and as a result of even the wars that are coming, Israel will get back more of her land. So we look forward to Israel getting, and particularly I'm excited about Judea and Samaria and getting back all of that land eventually, because that is that was the heart of the northern kingdom. Because so many people out there, they don't understand that in the last days, the Bible says it's not just the southern kingdom, the Jewish people that will be regathered to the land of Israel, but the northern kingdom, where in the book of Hosea says, in the exact place where it was said that you are not my people, and when God, you know, put the northern kingdom into exile, it says, there you shall be called the children of the living God after you are brought back together. And so in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the joining of the two sticks that will be made one, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom reunited in the land, never to be divided again. So to see the heart of the northern kingdom, you know, where in Samaria there, being brought back into officially the nation of Israel is very exciting to me, because it's a step toward the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, which I believe will happen in our day and in our time.
Yeah, it's going on right now. Michael, it's going on right now. And that's what people, so many people aren't grasping. They're back to America. They're at, you know, well, I've seen some people revive, you know, want to get back to God. But it's mostly been people that were already aware. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm seeing people that I think, well, okay, this would scare them into, you know, some repentance, if you will. But no, they've been cashing stimulus checks and partying with it and doing this and that. Oh, everything's going to come back to normal. And, you know, this minor birth thing was something to warn them and get them on their knees so the next wouldn't be so severe on them. And they're not seeing it yet. Back to you.
Yeah, yeah, and we're going to see a division, Pastor Dan, in these last days, where all these judgments are either going to make people go even more toward darkness or turn to God. And so the fence sitters are going to have to choose, and people are going to have to go one way or another. And so if you're out there listening to this broadcast today, maybe you stumbled onto this broadcast somehow and you're wondering, what in the world are all these guys talking about? But, you know, the God of the Bible is still alive today, and he warned us about all these things in advance, because he knew about everything that was going to happen in advance, and he's in control. And if you're out there and you're hurting, maybe you've lost your job, or you're looking toward the future and you're saying things look really bleak, well, there's a place where hope can be found, and the only place where hope can be found is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he died on the cross for your sins. And so the first step for anybody out there that wants to have a relationship with God, that wants to have hope for the future, that wants to go to heaven when they die, that wants to be able to make it through what's ahead, by, you know, the number one thing you need to do is invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Ask Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, to come into your heart, to be your Savior and Lord, to forgive your sins and to give you eternal life. And if you want to know more, I have an extended explanation on all my websites about how to do that, about how to become a believer, how to become a Christian, how to become a child of God. But beyond that, most of the people, of course, today, Pastor Dan, listening, are believers. And a lot of believers out there are scared. And, of course, their churches don't talk about any of these things.
Right.
Usually most churches don't talk about this. And certainly most churches don't talk about the prophetic voices we talked about today. So a lot of believers out there are confused. They don't know what's going on. They don't realize that they're like, where is God in all of this? Well, God is here. And God warned about all these things. In fact, on the mostimportantnews.com, I track prophecies about America's future that go back for decades. And all these prophetic voices throughout the years and all over the world are consistent because they've been shown the same things that are coming to this land. And God warned us, hey, turn from your wicked ways or judgment's going to come. And we didn't turn. Judgment is starting to arrive, and it's going to get a lot worse. But the good news is that God's going to be at work in this hour, and if you want to be in the middle of what God is doing, and I know particularly maybe there's some young people out there listening who are like, man, I want to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing these last days. I want to be, I want to be used by God. I want to fulfill the reason why he put me here. Well, I would encourage you to go to the book of Revelation and see what the Bible says about the remnant of the last days, because it describes the remnant and it describes what it's going to be like. And so if you go to Revelation 12, verse 17, and then later in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, it tells us that the remnant of the last days will be those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, and my wife and I, we keep proclaiming all to whoever will listen that in these last days, God is raising up an army. He's raising up an army that will keep his commandments, that will preach the gospel to the whole world and bring in the greatest harvest of souls in all of human history, and that will move in all the fruit, all the gifts, all the power of the Holy Spirit like we haven't seen since the book of Acts. So if you want to be part of that, well, there's no, official giant church building to go to or anything like that. It's an underground movement happening all over the world, but it's happening now. God is raising up that remnant he described to the Apostle John nearly 2,000 years ago. Pastor Dan is part of it. I'm part of it. And you may have just stumbled upon it by mistake by listening to this program, but you can be part of it too. And God is going to use this group mentioned in the Bible in powerful ways in these last days.
Yes, amen. Greatly spoken, greatly spoken. It's going to become more and more evident as it goes on. And folks, if your pastor isn't saying these things and talk about it, you need to witness to him. And if not, like Michael, those home groups that are popping up all over the place. We only got about 30 seconds, brother. Give your website, and I'll put them out on the web page also, but give me your website, and we're going to have to say goodbye.
Yeah, if you want to read about the prophecies I mentioned on the program today, go to themostimportantnews.com and look down, scroll down to the prophecy section. You'll find all the prophecies I mentioned today. And also, if you want to learn more about the end times, what's coming, you can go to Amazon.com, type in The Rapture Verdict. That's my book about the end times.
Yeah,
and I'll have another book about the end times, hopefully later this year.
Okay, great. We'll talk again, Michael. Thanks for being on and sharing. Be blessed, brother.
Thank you. Shalom, Pastor Dan.
Shalom. Well, folks, we must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. You got that? Repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Pray about supporting the messages that we put out here on radio. We need your help because we don't personally sell anything. We need your help to stay on the air. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them. And please be gracious to them, Father, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can, especially in this hour. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 866-568-5151. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.